appreciate the prayer. I ask your continued interest in your prayers. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 2. Chapter begins with a wherefore. So we see it's connected to what's been said before, don't we? You know, sometimes we see a therefore, and you need to remember to look to see what it's there for. Well, this is a wherefore. So whereas the therefore gives us an idea of what has been said, we can look to that. The wherefore tells us there's a basis for what goes after this. There's a reason why for what's about to be said, and it's based upon what's already been said. Similar to a therefore, but it helps us to know where we're coming from. You know, if you jump into the middle of a conversation, you can get the wrong idea of something, can't you? And Bible study is the same way. If you just quote one verse, or if you just jump into the middle of a chapter, and if you don't know what's been said, if you don't know the wherefore of what's about to be said, you could draw the wrong conclusion. The Apostle Peter, by the inspiration of the Spirit, gives us wonderful instruction, and it follows a similar pattern to some of the other scriptures, like, you know, the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul, when he was inspired to give us Ephesians, we got six chapters in that little book. I love that book of Ephesians, don't you? It's just one of those special things. Now, I love all those scripture, but there's just some things that are brought succinctly to our understanding in that little book that is just such a wonderful thing that just to sit down and read the whole book. I know some people get glassy-eyed and all if you talk about reading a whole book of the Bible. It's just six chapters. But the first three chapters are doctrine. The wonderful things God has done for us. The last three are more practical. Because of what he's done for us, then we should do this. Right? And that's what we find here in Peter's writings. The wherefore reaches back into the first chapter and tells us why we should be motivated to do what he's going to tell us from here on. Okay? Not that he's finished with doctrine, because doctrine really is teaching. So all of the teaching of the scripture is good for us. But sometimes it speaks of the doctrine of what God's done for us. Sometimes it's speaking of the doctrine of how we should respond to God. Okay? And there is a response that we should make to the Lord, isn't there? You know, don't be too quick to criticize folks talking about making the decision for Christ. You know, they have a different way of putting it. Now, understand, sometimes they think that they're obtaining eternal life because of that. But we should all make that decision in our lives that if we've come to a knowledge of the truth and we understand we were bankrupt sinners in need of a Savior, and we've been blessed to understand Jesus is that Savior, we need to make that decision to follow him. And Jesus said, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. You know, you're going to have enough problems with this old nature of ours popping up every now and then without looking back to the past. The past is good. As far as if we've had a good experience, and it's good to remember the past. It's good to know history so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. Bless your hearts, we need to be moving forward in the service of God. He says, press into the kingdom. Nowhere does he say backtrack. Nowhere does he say just, you know, we press into the kingdom. It's a matter of expending that energy in service to God, knowing that what we are by nature, we don't deserve it, and this old flesh is going to keep trying to pull us backward or pull us down or at least stop our progress. But he's worth every bit of our faithfulness and our service. The wherefore. If we get that, if we understand that. So I want to dip back in that a little bit this morning. But I want to notice the first three verses of chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, the first three verses. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that this morning? Have you tasted that in life? That God is gracious. I hope you, I believe you have. He's gracious. Something that we need to taste on a regular basis. To taste is to sense it. To taste is to partake of it and to get the effect of it and to benefit from it. That's the idea of eating food, isn't it? You know, I know some folks have been accused of that eating's a sport with some folks. But it ought to be, you know, taking in of nourishment. That's why we should desire the things of God, to be partakers of it, so that we could take in the nourishment and grow. So in the first verse there, he's telling us of what we need. If you use the language of Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, you put off the old man and then put on the new man. Okay, so verse 1 here is the putting off of the old man. And what does he say about that? Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, is that the way we are? Well, at the very least, that's the way we were. But we're to put that off. That sounds awful, doesn't it? Guile, malice, hypocrisies, envies, evil speakings. Listen to what Paul told Titus. Titus chapter 3. He touches on this in a way that kind of gets the point across. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. That's easy to remember, isn't it? Titus 3:3. It's got three chapters. Verse 3. For we ourselves were, emphasize the were, right? For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient. Now, what he's talking about here is times past, sometime, in the time past. Admittedly, there are times when it bothers us now, doesn't it? This old flesh can pop up. So if we're not careful, you know, Paul talked about it I believe it was 1 Corinthians 9, how that he kept his body under subjection. You know, lest after he'd run, you know, that he would fail, he would sin. All right. So Paul's saying to Titus, for we ourselves also were sometime foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. What he's describing there is the old man. What he's describing there is man by nature. That old fallen man. We're to put that off, aren't we? We're to try the best we can not to be that way anymore. You know, that old flesh, that old nature, and Satan likes to stir up that old nature and the passions of the flesh and all those things. And the world is just full of temptations and reminders about these things. You were sometime that way. At some time in the past, you were that way. Hopefully, You know, we're learning, we're growing, we're being able to put off those things. Wouldn't we love to say we have put that off? And as a rule and as a regular thing, I hope that we have put that off. We need to leave it behind. Okay? Living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That describes somebody that's, you know, one that's out to serve number one, serving themselves, whatever they have to do to climb to the top, you know, not mindful of others. That's what man by nature is. He's one of promote himself. Okay, so that's the way Paul described it to Titus. So back to Peter's writings, 1 Peter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice. Notice how emphatic this is. All malice, all guile. You know, guile is when you say one thing, but you don't really mean it. You're feeling something else inside and in your heart, but you say something else so that it's more pleasing, more acceptable, but you're feeling something else inside. That's why Peter would later say there was no guile found in Jesus' mouth. He always, always, without exception, spoke truth. Because he's the Word. It was manifested in the flesh. He's the Word that was made flesh. He's perfect in every way. You know, sometimes we get up in the morning, we're grumpy. Sometimes we have a bad day. Sometimes things not going our way. And sometimes we want to accomplish something by a certain time and things don't happen the way we want it to and we get frustrated. Well, you know what Isaiah said of the Lord Jesus? He shall not fail nor be discouraged. He was always in complete control. Now, the reason I'm really laboring on this is because that's the old man. That's what we used to be. That's what we were sometime in the past. And if we're not careful, sometimes it pops up in our life today. But it's what we need to put off. All right? So he says, wherefore laying aside all these things, and all evil speakings. So that's the old man. As newborn babes. See the changeover now. He's talking about putting off the old man. And now he's about to tell us what we're to put on. You know this, don't you? But we all need to be reminded. As newborn babes. What does that give you the idea? A new man. A new beginning, right? We're going to put off. We're going to lay it aside. We're going to put off the old man. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A reformed man? No, he's a new man. He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, that doesn't mean that everything about your life has changed. But what it means is there's a change that's happened in you, and you're going to see it differently, and you've got a new reason to look at things differently and live differently and be a different person than you were in the past. Because you are. You're a new creature in Christ. You didn't know that before, but when he comes and gives us his Spirit and causes us to be born again, and we have eyes that see things differently and ears that hear things we couldn't hear before and a heart that feels things we didn't feel before and a taste, an appetite that we didn't have before, a new creature by the grace of God, by the power of God, by the mercy of God. Not for any goodness in us, but because he's so good. That's why we're that way. That's why he blesses us in that way. Deuteronomy 7:7 talks about the Lord did not choose you because you were such a, you were great in number, for you were the smallest of all nations. But he said he chose you because he loved you. And just like he is saying that of Old Testament Israel, it also applies to New Testament Israel, doesn't it? Because he loved us, he set his love upon us. He didn't select us, he elected us by mercy and grace in spite of what we would do. Now that's the difference. So as newborn babes, here's a new beginning. Isn't it precious to see those little ones and hold them? And you know, it's just so precious. Well, it's a precious time for us when God shows mercy and blesses us with his Spirit. It's precious. And we ought to remember, you know, we lived one way in the past, but that's the past. We don't live there anymore. All right? If God has had mercy upon us, he says, as newborn babes. All right? In other words, we were one way in the past, but now it's time to be something else. But you're not going to be, now, I'm not saying that, let me preface this. The new creature in Christ, God does that. But that new creature now needs to be nourished. That new creature needs to walk in a different way now. That new creature needs to talk in a different way now. That new creature needs to have a new appetite now. But you're not going to grow and you're not going to develop that new way by staying in the past and continuing to do the things you did in the past. As newborn babes, since we are, then desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And if you're not getting that, you're not going to grow as you should. Think about it. He's telling us here how to put off the old and how to put on the new. As newborn babes, desire. Now he wants us to grow. He wants us to mature. He wants us to leave. You know, back in Hebrews chapter 6, he talks about some folks that, well, let's see, in chapter 5, he's talking about when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of right. That's where we start. Everybody starts there. But there needs to be some growth. Okay? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I've got a note here on that, by reason of use. The translator said it could also mean habitual use. So that kind of use, to that extent, habitual use. We need the Word of God. We need to be using what we know so that we can grow and serve Him better. And those, then chapter 6, he talks about leaving the principles of the doctrines, or not leaving them off, but going beyond. Okay, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism, of laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. But listen, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now, God does that. And have tasted the good word of God. The sincere milk of the word. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Oh, have you tasted that God is able? That by his power, he saved us. By sending his son. By raising Jesus from the dead. By all the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. All of the things that involve the great power of God. These are not small things. But I'm afraid sometimes we cast them aside as if they are small things. It's the great power of God. That he loved us. That his purposes are in place. And that nothing will thwart the purposes of God in bringing it all to pass and taking us home to glory to be with him forever. What a blessing. So, have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. What about in the spirit? The revelation of these things. If they shall fall away, so he said it was impossible. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. And I've talked over the years, I've talked with many ministers. You know, we talk about that a lot. And that impossibility is with us. If God is pleased to show mercy and grant repentance, he can do that. That's his prerogative. He is sovereign. But as far as our encouragement, as far as our admonition, as far as what we can do, it's going to fall on deaf ears if they fall away. Now, that doesn't mean we don't continue to do what we can. And if God, peradventure, would grant repentance, how wonderful. But we need to keep encouraging. We need to keep trying. We need to keep admonishing in the right way. If they fall away. So he says it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. The point is, the only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. The only Savior we have is Jesus Christ. If they turn away from Christ, if they turn away from their trust in him, there is no other Savior. There's nothing else. Only Christ saves. It's the only hope we have. So he says, seeing they crucified of themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. In other words, he died once to save us. We come to him. We should put off the old man. We should confess the fact that God has had mercy upon us and we're blessed now to see he's our Savior. And we want to follow him. And coming back to 1 Peter chapter 2 now, he says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, look at how that is absolutely the opposite of who Christ is. He is the exact opposite of that. And that's why we're to put it off. That's why we're to lay it aside. Now we've got a better way. We've got a better path to follow. And we want to be like him and not like the natural man of the past. Lay it aside. And all those activities and that appetite for those things. And as newborn babes desire the sincere. You see, the wherefore here is telling us the reason is back in chapter 1. And we... Maybe we'll get back to some of that. But there's some people, you talk to them about this and they think, you know, they may not verbalize the words, but you could just see it in their eyes. I don't want to do that. I don't want to leave that off. I like to do those things. Well, what they're saying, their heart hasn't been changed. Or they've turned aside and are going in that direction. And only the Lord is going to be able to change them. So, you know, we have to be careful not to judge somebody as not being a child of God. All the believers around was probably thinking Saul of Tarsus was not a child of God. But in God's time, it became evident that he was. Don't ever give up. Don't ever think they're not. Don't ever judge them as not being. You know, that was part of the lesson with Moses when he smote the rock the second time. And he called God's people rebels, which the meaning of that word rebel is graceless wretch. We don't need to charge anybody as being that. That's God's business. He may not have revealed himself to them, and he's got a good reason for it if he hasn't. So we need to be careful about that. But the plain teaching, we can't cover every if and turn and twist of somebody that's gone astray. What we need to do is just get back on the path. Keep pointing them back in the right direction, because we're clearly told what that right direction is. Lay aside all those things, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. I don't care how mature we become in the things of God, we still need the word. We still need to be nourished by the word of God. It's what he has given us to nourish us. You know, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20, when he was a prisoner, and they let him meet with the brethren at Ephesus, and the brethren came together there and met with Paul. And Paul's parting words to them was, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Now, those were brethren. Those were already people who had been instructed in the word of righteousness, but they continue to need that word, just like us. We continue to need the word of righteousness. He said, "I commend you to the word of God, the word of his right, that is able to build you up." I'm sorry. "I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all the sanctified," all them that are sanctified. So when we think about it, has nothing to do with heaven and mortal glory. It has to do with having a place with God's people right now, in this world, enjoying the kingdom of God, enjoying the church of God, enjoying that refuge from the world, where all those people are still living in this way that we're supposed to put off and not have anything to do with, and to be more like Christ. If you look at the very opposite of malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, you'll see the perfection of Christ and how we are to be opposite from the things of the world and to follow after him and to be more like him. That's the goal of a disciple, isn't it? To be as his master. Oh, can you imagine the kind of life that you could enjoy if you were just like Jesus in all the ways that you responded to things and all the things that you wanted to do and having the priority of glorifying God in all that you say and do and think? Wow. But that's our goal. For which we are to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the goal. And so it needs to be habitual, right? Habitual use. Having our senses exercised by reason of use. Habitual use. Laying aside those things. And as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, the growth. He says, if so be, you've tasted that the Lord's gracious. In other words, if he's talking to you, is he talking to you? Have you tasted? Then if you have, then you're a happy recipient of the grace of God. There is no better calling than having been called of God out of darkness. And you get into that later on in this chapter. Out of darkness. Laying aside those things. Called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Oh, if we have tasted that he's gracious, if we have that desire to be fed with sincere milk of the word. Oh, as we think about what he's done in calling us. All right, so verse 1 was to tell us what we're to lay aside. Verse 2 tells us what we need to put on. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. I started to say something earlier, and I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit in my thoughts, but those little babies are precious. Oh, you love to hold them. Everything about them, we just enjoy so much, don't we? But at the same time, we want them to grow. We want them to develop. We want them to get strong and mature. Do you know that's what pleases the Lord too? For us to grow in grace. Because this is, you know, this is 1 Peter. When you get down to Peter's second epistle, in the very last verses, very last verse of that, he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you tasted that he's gracious? Some folks have not. Some folks do not have the desire in their heart to praise God. You know, they don't have it. Paul said to the Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, pray for us that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Not everyone has tasted that the Lord is gracious. Not everyone has a desire to put off the old man. That's evident, isn't it? We see it all around us. And we, you know, when and not that we judge, but when we judge the fruit and see that they haven't put off the old man, then we realize that, well, at least based on the fruit, we don't see any evidence that they've tasted that the Lord is gracious. The important thing is for those who have tasted, have they put off those old things? Are we desiring the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby? Now, I believe I'm looking at a people this morning who have that desire, who have a good understanding of the word of God. But whatever our level of understanding, there's plenty of room to grow. There's plenty of room to learn the more applications for. You know, like we say sometimes, you know, there's verses of scripture that you can quote from memory. They've been special to you a long time. Sometimes people will adopt something they call their life verse, you know, and that's fine. But no matter how familiar you are with a verse of scripture, the Holy Spirit can open up an avenue of thought and an application for that that you've never considered. And I'm satisfied he can continue to do that until Jesus comes again and won't run out of new and fresh applications for his word, because it's just that deep and it's just that rich, and we need to be desiring that. And even if you're reading along and you come to a very familiar passage of scripture, don't skip over it. Because the Spirit just might have a nugget there waiting for you that you never saw before, right in the midst of some very familiar verses of Scripture. Have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? I tell you, in my prayers, I just have to confess, Lord, I've just not done what I should. I need your help. The Lord is so good. He's so merciful. You know, and that applies to just so many things, so many aspects of life. We all realize that there's, and I believe, Brother Kenneth, you mentioned in your prayer this morning, that we all need to do better. There's something about everybody's life. It could be better. Some folks have a wonderful handle on living the more abundant life and how wonderful that is. And yet there's still, because we're not perfect, we're not completely conformed to the image of Christ, there's still room to grow. If you've tasted. You know, I don't think it's too much of a stretch to even say that right there in that verse of Scripture, you find the doctrine of election. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. And when we think about how gracious God is, you know, that speaks of just generally the word gracious means more than is necessary. Can you say that about God, that he's done more than is necessary for us? Has he ever blessed you so abundantly it just seemed like it was just overflowing in your heart and all you could do is just say, thank you, Lord. Over and over and over. And then when you get through, you still don't feel like that you've done it enough. Well, keep doing it. Whether it's coming out your mouth or whether it's being affecting the things that you do and the things that you say and the things that you think. God is gracious. And we could speak about that from now until the time that Jesus comes again, and we wouldn't cover it all. All that he's done for us. You know, he could have saved us and not even told us about it. But he did. He could have made this world and it could all have been black and white. But he made it beautiful. Aren't you just amazed sometimes when you uncover some of the things that God has done in nature? You know, I'm still seeing birds that I've never seen before. You know, when you get into some of these things and, oh, just when you think about how gracious God is, there's just no end to it. We didn't deserve it. We were like this verse 1. That's the way we were. And if we're not careful, those things can start popping out in our behavior even today. You know that, don't you? I don't have to throw out a funny story or whatever about that. I know some, but you understand what I'm talking about. You experience it every day, don't you? We used to live in St. Louis, Missouri area, and traffic up there was, you know, I find the traffic lights in Dothan unbearable. And the traffic can get busy, but it's nothing like it was in St. Louis. I had the privilege of being able to adjust my schedule a little bit, and so I could go into work at 10 in the morning and stay until 7 or 8 o'clock at night and avoid a lot of that. But when those times when I had to be there at 8 o'clock, I'll tell you what, you better get started early. And I don't know why something like that can just irritate you so quickly. Maybe I'm just weird. Maybe it just helps, but I don't think so. I don't think I'm by myself. He's so gracious that he would have mercy upon somebody like me. And no offense, but somebody like you. You know who you are better than we do. And God has still had mercy on us. Isn't that being gracious? Isn't that being gloriously merciful and kind and loving? You know, when Moses, back there in the Old Testament, when he said, Lord, show me your glory. Do you know how God showed him his glory? He could have said, well, look at the stars. And that's glorious, isn't it? You know, I hear out in the desert, in those places where they don't have any electricity for miles and miles and miles. It gets really dark. But one of the nice things about being out there where it's really dark is you really get to see the stars. He could have said, well, look at my stars. He could have said, look in the heavens. He told Abraham that one time, by the way, when God had promised to raise up a seed to Abraham and that his seed would be like the stars. He said, tell the stars if thou be able to count them. He talked about the sands of the seashore being for multitude. But he could have told Moses, well, just look in the stars for my glory. He could have told him, he could have pointed him to the beauty of this world. Some of the glorious things we have in this world. That should have shown something about the glory of God, wouldn't it? But God said, I'll have all my goodness pass before thee. Oh, now that's glorious. The goodness of God. How good. He is good. He is powerful. He is loving. Even his wrath is holy wrath. Because it's right. And it's rightly applied. But when we think about all the goodness of God, who is rich in mercy, as Paul said to the Ephesians, for the great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he didn't leave us there. By mercy, by grace, by power, he saved us. He sent forth his Son from before the foundation of the world to be the propitiation for our sins, to save us, to be the substitute for us, so that we could live with him. You think of the goodness of God. That's glorious. And he's gracious in it. He's given us more than we need. He's given us more than was necessary. Oh, how God blesses. You know, his measure is what? Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. That's how God, that's his way of blessing. Now you think, well, some skeptic might say, well, that's wasteful. No. When you've used what you need, you've got some to share with somebody else. Isn't that the godly thing to do? Remember, when we've been going through Proverbs, and so many times we'll pick on that rich fool over in Luke chapter 12 that had to pull down his barns and built bigger barns and said, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much good laid up in store for many days. The Lord said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall all these things be? And then the Lord pronounces judgment by saying, or gives us the moral of the story, so is everyone that is not rich toward God. When you have understood that God is gracious, that he's blessed you abundantly, that he's blessed you with more than you need, then the thing to do is to share with others. As God has been gracious to us, if we want to be godly, if we want to be like him, then we need to be gracious toward others. I guess we're going to have to get to the therefore, wherefore tomorrow. But listen, what a wonderful pattern that he lays out for us as he's told us those things in chapter 1, and he told us how to put off what the kind of man and things that needs to be put off, and then what we need to do as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. Is he talking to you? If he is, it's your duty. Oh, it's a privilege. It's a privilege, but it's your duty to honor him and do it. May God help us to grow in those things. And Lord willing, if this is still on our mind, we'll continue with this tomorrow. May God bless you is our prayer.